Well, good morning, everyone. Once again, I just want to welcome you this morning. So glad that you could join with us today, all of you who are with us. This is a first time, like Jonathan mentioned, for GFC. We have never done a live stream service before. If you're thinking just now the picture quality isn't that good, don't adjust your screens. It's just me. This is what I look like, and it doesn't get any better than this. No, we are coming to you live from the Zyman House Productions. We are so glad that you are here. Seriously, I'm very thankful that we can be able to connect with you this morning through this technology. And I also want to say thank you to Jonathan, who has worked very hard to put all this together for us. Jonathan, thanks for all your hard work. Well, let's pray together as we turn our attention now to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you are in control, that you are sovereign over all things, and you are bringing history to a conclusion when Christ will return. Lord, we thank you for Christ, our sure and steadfast anchor for our soul. Lord, we ask and pray that as we look at your word this morning, God, that you would move in each one of us. God, that you would encourage our hearts, encourage us in faith. And Lord Jesus, we ask and pray that you would meet with us now. We give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, grab your Bibles, grab your paper, your pens, because we are going to dive into God's Word. We're continuing today in our series in Luke chapter 21. But we're also going to address how to respond to the coronavirus. Our text today, I think, is pretty poignant for this season that we are in. This pandemic is just one example of the kinds of signs that Jesus said would occur before the end. And I'm not saying that this is the end, but it's just one example of the things that Jesus said would happen before he returns. He talked about war, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, and this pandemic would be in that last category. Now, all of these things have occurred throughout history, and they will continue to occur until Jesus returns. Jesus told us that these kinds of things would come. But he didn't just leave us in the dark. He also told us how we should respond. And so this morning, we're going to apply our text to this situation as an example, just as an example, for how to apply it through all the various trials of life that we're going to face until Jesus returns. The message for us this morning is to watch and pray for the strength to remain faithful until Christ returns. Watch and pray for strength to remain faithful until Christ returns. That's how we stay ready for Him. And we're going to see three encouragements this morning that will help us to stay ready as we face the various trials of life. But first, let's set the context. You remember that Jesus has been teaching in the temple, and one of the people who was there next to him, they started to admire the beauty of the temple. And Jesus said that the temple was going to be totally destroyed, that there wouldn't be one stone left upon another. And so the disciples then asked him, well, when is this going to happen? What are the signs that are going to precede this so that we'll know when this is about to take place? And so then Jesus told them that there would be false teachers, false messiahs that would come in his name, saying that the time is now. He says, don't be led astray by them. And then he tells them that there's going to be wars and tumults and earthquakes and famines and pestilences. And all of these things are going to take place. But the time isn't yet. Even before that happens, he tells the disciples that they're going to face persecution, that they would face prison and betrayal from their friends and family, that they would be hated by all men for his name's sake, and even that some of them would be martyred, that they would be put to death for their faith. All of that would happen before the temple was destroyed. And it did, as we heard last week. Now, through these things, Jesus tells the disciples that they would have an opportunity to bear witness to him. And Jesus promised that not a hair of their head would perish. Now, he just got done saying that some of them would be put to death. So Jesus here isn't talking about physical perishing. He's talking about spiritual perishing. In other words, he's promising that their eternal life is secure because they're in him. So they needn't fear. I think it's good for us to remember right away at the start that Jesus doesn't promise his disciples a smooth or easy life of uninterrupted comforts. He says that there's going to be wars and tumults and natural disasters and famine and pestilences. And we might be persecuted. We might be put in prison. We might be betrayed by our friends and family or be hated by people or even put to death. So we need to settle this truth in our minds at the very beginning. It's through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God, as Paul taught the churches in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Yet, in the midst of all of this, Jesus says that you cannot ultimately be harmed. Through it all, through everything that you face in life, your eternal life is secure in Jesus. You may lose much in serving Jesus Christ, but you will never lose your soul. You will never lose your inheritance in heaven. So we have nothing ultimately to fear. And so through perseverance in the faith, Jesus says, you will gain your life. Verse 19. Now, reading Luke Luke chapter 21, reading at this chapter is kind of like wearing bifocals. You know, bifocals are glasses where there's a little part near the bottom where it helps you see up close, but then everything else is for seeing in the distance. Well, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple is the near and the close focus of this chapter. That's what we were focused on last week. Yet all the while, the end of the world is in the background, and it's the distant focus. All of the things that Jesus has been talking about that lead up to the destruction of the temple, those things are a portent. They foreshadow the final judgment. These signs are a reflection of the things that are going to lead up to the end. They're a kind of dress rehearsal for when the curtain is rolled back on the drama of the world's end. And now we're going to pick things up in verse 25. And Jesus now turns his attention to the distant focus, his return. And we're going to see now our first encouragement. The first encouragement is to take heart because your redemption draws near. We're going to see this in verses 25 through 28. Look there with me. And as we look at this text, I want you to note the contrast between the way that the nations respond to the signs of the end and the way that Jesus tells his disciples to respond. So let's look at this, starting in verse 25. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, confusion, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and foreboding of what's coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. So what strikes fear and foreboding in the hearts of the nations, the disciples meet with hope and joy. Why? Because their redemption is drawing near. This is the moment when all that God has promised will be realized. And so there are two responses to the signs of God's coming judgment and the return of Christ. One of those is fear. Now, we might not be able to precisely define the meaning of every part of this prophecy, what these cosmic signs are going to entail. Isaiah and some of the other Old Testament prophets talk about the stars of the heavens and their constellations not giving their light, or the sun will be dark at its rising, or the moon will not shed its light. That's Isaiah 13, verse 10. So we might not be able to precisely pinpoint what all of these signs are going to be. But one thing is absolutely clear. Christ's return will be terrifying for non-believers. They'll suffer distress and confusion and panic. These cosmic signs when Jesus returns are going to cause people to be overcome with fear at the thought of what's coming on the world. Just think with me for a moment how helpless people feel in the midst of natural disasters, like a tornado or a tsunami, or even with what's happening with the coronavirus. Those things are just a tiny foretaste of this greater final judgment that is coming, a tiny foretaste of the terror that people will feel when Christ returns. Well, as we've seen, every war, every natural disaster, every famine and epidemic foreshadow the final judgment. Yet each and every one of those things that we go through in this life is a merciful warning. It's a gracious opportunity that God gives to us to allow people to turn to Jesus Christ before the final judgment, to turn to Jesus Christ in faith and be delivered from the wrath to come so that we don't have to face that day with fear. And that leads us to the other response, that's joy. Christ's return is going to bring joy to us as true believers. When the disciples see all of these things taking place, they can take heart. Jesus says to stand and lift your head, which is a sign of victory, because God is bringing His salvation to completion. Christ's return is going to be terrifying to the non-believer and fill them with fear because their doom is near. But Christ's return is going to be glorious for the believer and fill us with joy because our redemption is near. That's when every promise of Jesus Christ will be theirs, will be ours. On the very same day that the non-believer will lose everything and all of their hopes will be dashed, on that day the believer will gain everything and all of our hopes will become a reality. We'll say goodbye forever to sickness and sadness and death, and every evil in this world will be delivered from it. We will have full possession of our eternal reward, and we should look forward to that day often to strengthen us, to carry us and sustain us through the tribulations that Jesus promised that we're going to face in this life until He returns. Well, how do we apply what's happening this to what's happening with coronavirus? Well, again, this is just one of the things. It's just an example of one of the kinds of signs that Jesus said would occur before the end. And again, I'm not saying this is the end, just that like all wars and natural disasters and so forth, these things are a reminder to us that there is an end that is coming, that Jesus is going to return. Only God knows when. And like all of these other signs, this pestilence has caused a lot of fear. Yet Jesus says to us, do not fear, in verse 9. Instead, we meet this, like all trials, with faith. Now, if we're going to meet this with faith, I think there are a few truths that we need to keep in mind and to put our trust and our faith in. First of all, that God is sovereign. He's in control. As Jesus discusses all the events surrounding the end and what Christians are going to go through, all the wars and tumults and natural disasters and so forth, we never once get the sense in Luke chapter 21 that God is out of control or God is worried or God doesn't know what's happening. In all of this, actually, we get the clear sense that God is absolutely in control. That God is not surprised or worried. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and He's in charge of all of these things. In fact, this truth that God is sovereign and in control, it underlies all of Luke chapter 21, and it's for this reason that Jesus is able to tell us what's coming. You know, anxiety and fear often come from a desire inside of us to try to control the future, whether we realize it or not. And the coronavirus exposes, just like all trials do, that we are not in control of the future. But God is. God's in charge of human history from beginning to end. And because of that, we need not fear. We don't need to be afraid. Instead, Jesus calls us to trust God and to persevere in the faith. Jesus tells us, do not be afraid. That's another truth. In verse 9, fear is a normal response that people have when situations are chaotic and uncertain like they are. But we shouldn't be dismissive or critical of people who are experiencing fear at this time. Yet in the face of all of these things, the tumults and the natural disasters and all of those sorts of things, Jesus says, do not be terrified, in verse 9. We don't need to fear sickness or death. We have nothing to lose and everything to gain in Jesus Christ. If we die, we will go to heaven. This is why Paul can say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, it's not that as Christians we seek death, but at the same time, we need not fear it either. We shouldn't panic on the one hand, and we shouldn't be presumptuous on the other. God calls us to be prudent. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Proverbs 22:3. It's wise to take precautions, to wash our hands and to stay home and to practice social distancing. All of these things are wise. Being prepared is wise. Being panicked on the one hand or presumptuous on the other is not. The core issue here is really your heart. Are we acting out of a almost like an atheistic denial that God exists, almost from a godless anxiety, or are we acting from a God-centered confidence, a sure faith in God and the things that we do? That's the real issue. It's not really about whether you buy extra toilet paper or extra supplies. You can do those things. You can prepare and still do that with trust and faith in God. The question for us to wrestle with is, where is your heart right now? Jesus says we do not need to fear. We should not be consumed with fear and anxiety. Well, another truth for us is that this is a God-given opportunity to be a witness to the gospel and to Jesus Christ. This is an opportunity for us, like all of these situations are, to point people to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The whole point of Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 21 is to be ready for Jesus' return. That's where this whole chapter is headed. Are you ready for Jesus' return? And where a person spends eternity depends entirely on how they respond to Jesus. We have a responsibility and can help people get ready to meet Jesus, to help them run to Jesus in repentance and faith in Him for their salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, so they're ready to meet Him when He returns. So let's help people be prepared to meet Jesus. You know, the coronavirus, it does not change our mission as a church. What it does is highlight the things that we should already be doing as a church. Now, we witness with our words, but we also witness with our actions. These kinds of precautions, they're not done out of fear or concern necessarily for ourselves, but for out of concern for other people. It's a loving thing to do, to try to prevent the spread of this illness, especially to those who are the most vulnerable. But moreover, we love others as Christians through this by helping them. Christians throughout history have been known for doing what they can to alleviate the suffering of others. The early church's response to the plague in Rome is one of the main reasons for its great growth at the beginning of the church. Their self-sacrificing care for other people led large numbers of people to convert to Christianity. So self-protection is not our ultimate aim. Self-sacrificing love for other people and the advance of the gospel is our aim, just as it always has been. Well, finally, God commands us to pray, and we're going to talk more about that in the last point of this sermon. So our first encouragement this morning, in the midst of trials, is to take heart, because it's a reminder that our redemption is drawing near. The second encouragement for us is to trust the enduring Word of God. Whatever trials that you might be facing, trust the enduring Word of God. We see this in verses 29 to 33. Jesus is going to give a parable and a promise to confirm that his words will surely be fulfilled. Look there with me. Verse 29. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you will see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you that this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So Jesus is encouraging the disciples here that his words will undoubtedly be fulfilled. Now the parable is pretty straightforward. When the buds start appearing on the trees, you know that summer is near. I took this picture in my backyard on Friday. This is one of our maple trees. Our maple trees are starting to bud. I love this time of year because it tells me that it's not going to be long until warm weather is here. Summer is going to be here. Can I get an amen from somebody out there? I know that you guys are probably just as excited for the warm weather as we are in our family. Well, in the same way that the buds and the leaves on the trees tell us that summer is almost here, Jesus is saying that these cosmic signs in the heavens that we looked at in verses 25 through 28, when those things appear, the kingdom of God is drawing near. Well, then Jesus says that this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. This is a difficult verse, but I think the meaning here of this generation, it refers to the last generation, the generation that sees these cosmic signs coming. The point then is that the end will follow quickly, these signs quickly within a generation. And then Jesus promises, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is the main point of this section, the enduring reliability of Christ's word. When everything around us is shaken, God's word is stable. When things are uncertain, God's word is sure. When everything around us may seem to be falling apart, we can always trust in God's word. There's so much information out there, it's hard to know what is accurate and what to believe, but we have a source of information that is always true, the Bible. And as we face this situation before us and any trials that we might face, we look to God's word as our source of guidance, of hope, of comfort, and of strength. It's a comfort even for us this morning as we are meeting through this live stream and looking to Christ and His Word to find hope and assurance in this season of life. But God's Word is also what we should be pointing other people to Christ and His Word. Jesus' Word is certain. All of His warnings, all of His teachings, all of His promises. And so not only should we heed His warnings and obey His commands, but we should also trust in His promises. Trust in His promises through these trials. This is a time for us as believers to really double down on our personal and our family devotions, to be looking to God's Word for strength. We can redeem this time as we continue to pour ourselves into God's Word to find strength for ourselves, but also so that we can have something with which we can strengthen other people in this season. So to stay ready for Christ's return, we have to trust His enduring Word. The third encouragement for us is to watch and pray for the strength to endure faithfully. Whatever trials it is that you're facing, whether it's this or something else, watch and pray for strength to remain faithful. We see this in verses 34 to 36. Look there with me. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now notice where Jesus lands the plane. The emphasis is not so much on watching the signs, but on watching yourselves. This is a call to a serious self-examination. Jesus says, watch yourselves, or we could translate this, pay careful attention to yourselves. Why? He says, lest your hearts be weighed down, lest your devotion to Jesus Christ be dulled by dissipation and drunkenness and the ordinary cares of this life. This is talking about just the regular things of life. This is your home, your family, your job, your school. All of these things can become so all-consuming for us that they crowd out God and they keep us from being fruitful. The point is that we mustn't let our devotion to Jesus Christ be dulled by such worldly concerns. And then be caught unprepared to meet Jesus. You know, there are always skeptics who are going to scoff at the Bible and scoff at the end of the world. They're going to say things like, where is the promise of His coming? Like we see in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. But I think this meme sums it up well. You tell them the coronavirus is coming and they prepare. Tell them that Jesus is coming and they do nothing. You see, Jesus concludes this whole teaching about the end with this overarching command to be ready for His return. In other words, to remain faithful to Jesus. I want you to notice here that it's not just sinful things, it's ordinary things that can damage our spiritual life. And this doesn't mean that we become monks or that we neglect our responsibilities that we have, not at all. But it does mean that we live like people who have a master who is going to return. It means living a life of faithfulness to Christ in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. It means living as a devoted servant of Jesus Christ in thought and word and in deed. This is the faithful servant who will be ready to meet the Master when He returns. He'll be unashamed standing before Him and he'll receive His commendation from Jesus. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Last weekend, we traveled up north to Minnesota and driving through Wisconsin, I kept seeing these signs from the Department of Transportation. Sorry, the picture isn't coming through here. But the signs on the side of the road, you've seen them. They kept saying, crashes are no accident, stay alert. So about every half hour or so, I'd see one of these signs, crashes are no accident, stay alert. Well, as we travel in our cars, we have to be alert at all times. It's when we start to doze off, when we're not paying attention, that we crash. The same is true as we travel the Christian life. Remaining faithful and ready for Jesus' return, that doesn't happen by accident. It happens as we intentionally stay alert, watching and praying and depending on God at all times. Even believers can have this kind of careless attitude about the end. And we can give ourselves over either to the pleasures of this life or to the concerns of this life. But the reality of Jesus' return calls us to be prepared for His return. And the only way to do that is to rely on God to supply the strength that you need. Given the persecution and the tribulation and the temptation and the distraction and the pressures of life that the Bible tells us, that Jesus tells us are going to be with us until the end, given all of that, disciples are to pray and depend on God's strength. We need to look to God to give us the strength to remain faithful until He comes. So how do we endure through this situation and through every single trial that we face until Christ comes? How do we get ready and stay ready for Jesus' return? Well, first of all, faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Him for the forgiveness of sins so that we can have eternal life. There's no readiness unless we turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. That's where things begin. But second, watching for Christ's return. We don't look at these signs of the end so that we can map out a timeline of how the end is going to go down. We don't obsess over these signs. Instead, these signs, we use them to remember that there is an end coming and that Christ will return. We use these signs to keep our focus fixed on heaven and fixed on Christ so that we'll remain faithful to Him. All of these signs are a gracious reminder of Christ's return, and they give us hope and joy because we know that our redemption is drawing near. Third, we watch ourselves against worldly concerns, being wary of things that would distract us from love for God or dull our devotion to Jesus Christ. We make faith and serving Jesus Christ faithfully our ultimate priority, no matter what, even in tribulation. Fourth, watching through prayer. Prayer and watchfulness go together in the Bible. So the Bible says, God says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. That's Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Or as Jesus tells Peter, he says, watch and pray that you might not enter into temptation. That's Matthew 26, verse 41. So prayer is crucial for keeping watch over ourselves as we go through life, no matter what we're facing. We pray for strength to remain faithful through it all, through all the tribulations, all the pressures of this life that Jesus says we're going to constantly face. You see, the constant pressures of life means that we need constant prayer at the same time. The Bible says the Lord is at hand. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is at hand. He is with you. So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And when we're anxious, whenever we're anxious about anything that we're anxious about, we should pray. We should pray. And we can pray in light of the coronavirus. How should we pray? Well, first we can thank God, as we've seen, that He's in control of all of these things. He's control of all of history. We can thank Him for his power and for His provision and for His protection. And we can pray for it. We can pray for His mercy to bring an end to this virus all over the world. We can pray for the sick. We can pray for their families. We can pray for the medical professionals and pray for our leaders in government and other institutions who are dealing with this. Today is a national day of prayer for this whole situation. And I would encourage you that as we have our prayer time in just a few minutes, that you would spend a good portion of that time praying for all of this. But we also pray that the church would be a faithful witness in all of this. We pray for those who are afraid, who don't know the truth of Jesus Christ, that they would come to Jesus Christ in faith and that they would be saved. Well, fifth, we watch through Christ's word. We've already touched on this, but I want you to notice that this chapter ends with the people coming early in the morning to hear Jesus teaching in the temple. That's verse 38. Why do they come early in the morning? I like to think it's because they want to get the best seats. They want to make sure to get close to Jesus because they're eager to hear His teaching. They're eager for His word. That's why they come early to the temple. If you want to remain faithful to God, go hear Jesus early in the morning. Trust His enduring word. And finally, watch at all times. We do these things regularly, continually, through the day. We don't just watch and pray sometimes, but at all times. We don't just depend on God for strength sometimes, but all times. Well, the coronavirus is just one example of pestilence. And like wars and natural disasters and tumults and all of these other things that Jesus talked about, all the pressures of life and the persecutions that Jesus says that we might face, all of those things are going to occur until Jesus Christ returns. Those are all reminders that history is moving toward an end, that Jesus Christ is going to return, and we need to be ready to meet them. All of these things, these trials that we face in life, are great reminders that our redemption is drawing near. And so we can take heart. As Christians, we don't fear. We take heart. We trust in God's Word, and we watch and pray for the strength to remain faithful until Jesus returns. You know, come what may in this world, we have hope. We have hope as Christians, and we should live in it, and we should share it with other people. Will you pray with me now? Pray with me. God, we thank You and we praise You that You are sovereign, that You're in control of all things. We thank You that we have a sure and steadfast hope in Jesus Christ. And God, we just ask and pray that as Your people, You would help us to rest in You, that we would trust Your Word, that Your peace would guard our heart and our minds in Christ Jesus, that You would make us faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. We pray for Your strength to remain faithful in the power of the Holy Spirit, both now and until Christ returns or He calls us home. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.